This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. And you know, you can listen to The Takeaway anytime by subscribing to our podcast. You can find that on our website, thetakeaway.org, or on iTunes. The hottest Jackson ticket. The memorial service for Michael Jackson is expected to draw huge crowds to downtown Los Angeles, and additional crowds will line the route of a motorcade for the body of the pop singer and his family. Streets will close at 6 a.m. West Coast time around the Staples Center, where the memorial concert will begin mid-morning. Being there for Michael on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning, everyone. I'm John Hockenberry. It is Tuesday, July 7th. It's quite a day. I mean, folks from Moscow, where Barack Obama is speaking to the Russian people, to Los Angeles, where the world is waiting to say goodbye to Michael Jackson. One can make a pretty good case this morning that African Americans occupy a very lofty place in global culture. I'm here with co-host Todd Zwillick. Hello, Todd.
Hi, good morning, John. Also on the program this morning, Social Security and global hackers, an update on the U.S. offensive in Afghanistan, and the supporters of Sarah Palin speak out on what they think about her resignation. Those stories are coming up, but first, these headlines.
And in the headlines, on the second day of his trip to Moscow, President Obama has had breakfast with the country's prime minister, Vladimir Putin. He's also given several speeches emphasizing common goals shared by the U.S. and its former Cold War rival. The world bids a final farewell to Michael Jackson today, as we mentioned, in Los Angeles. His family will hold a private funeral in L.A. before the public memorial at the city's Staples Center. A range of stars, including Stevie Wonder, Mariah Carey, and Usher, are expected to attend. Joining us now from downtown Los Angeles is L.A. resident Josh Rogerson. So, Josh, good morning. And is L.A., we've heard all the hype. Is L.A. going to be able to handle this event?
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of police presence here on the corner of Figueroa and Olympic Boulevard. And right now it's still pretty quiet, but I'm just sort of perched here with a couple of fans hanging out listening to Michael Jackson tunes. And I'm feeling like, you know, they've got it all under control for sure.
Calm and upbeat. Well, we'll talk more about that in a moment. Thank you, Josh. Back in the headlines, in the Capitol, Al Franken will be sworn in as Minnesota's junior senator today. He's joining the Senate Judiciary Committee. Todd?
He's joining the Judiciary Committee, which is going to be having Sotomayor hearings next week.
Oh, also, that's interesting.
Also in Washington, John, ousted Honduran leader Manuel Zelaya meets with Secretary of State Hillary Clinton today. The U.S. hopes to resolve the military coup peacefully in Honduras and allow for the safe return of the Honduran president. Going abroad now, there are reports that China has declared a curfew in its western Xinjiang province that allows that follows ethnic violence between the majority Muslim Uyghur community and the ruling Han Chinese.
The death toll seems to be rising. Yes. Their world markets were mostly flat yesterday. The Dow opens today at 83.25. The S&P starts trading at 8.99, and the Nasdaq begins at 17.87. Futures trading suggests a flat opening this morning on Wall Street. Michael Jackson has been called the King of Pop, of course. Part of that is due to his live performances. Today at his memorial service, some very big stars will be there. Stevie Wonder, Mariah Carey, Usher. We want to know, who do you think is the best live performer of all time? Michael Jackson could be the answer to that question. But if it's not him, who else? Who can inherit the King of Pop's throne on stage live? Tell us your concert and the performer you loved to see. 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at knightfoundation.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway.
Good morning, everyone. I'm John Hockenberry. It could all end today. We shall see. Michael Jackson will be laid to rest this morning in Los Angeles in a private ceremony at Forest Lawn Cemetery in the Hollywood Hills. This funeral is not open to Jackson fans, but at the Staples Center in downtown Los Angeles, thousands of his fans will gather to say their goodbyes. The Staples Center seats about 20,000. There will be a group of fans, people who won lottery tickets to get in, plus invited guests of the Jackson family. But there will be hundreds of millions of people watching the ceremony and the concert around the world. It will be broadcast live on a number of networks. Josh Rogerson, Los Angeles resident, who is in downtown Los Angeles near the Staples Center, where it's quiet this morning. What's the feeling on the part of the fans that are showing up already?
Everyone's really excited to celebrate the life of Michael Jackson. I think it's going to be a very positive, enriching environment to just celebrate his legacy rather than, you know, mourn his death.
Why all the tension on the part of L.A. authorities leading up to this day, where, as you say, it feels very much like a moment of quiet reflection?
Well, there have been some city council members who have been objecting to the fact that it's just going to be costing so much money. I heard it was like $2 million in overtime for the police force alone. There's actually a number of police officers here now. We're talking to some guys who are going to be getting off in just 3 hours. They're pretty excited for that. But it's just an enormous expense to make sure that everything happens like clockwork, which I'm sure it will. And it's a very tough time for the city of Los Angeles. They're just really strapped economically. I hear there are $500 million. The budget gap is $500 million for the city alone.
No, and the state has a $26 billion budget gap, which we were talking about last week. Josh, are you going to collect fans for us later on in the morning as we get closer to the actual concert time?
Yeah, I've been recording some voices here on the street, some folks who are dancing by their car and playing some music. So the atmosphere is just really positive, and it's going to be an amazing day.
All right, Josh, we'll be talking with you throughout the morning. Also with us this morning is Belinda Luscombe, Time Magazine editor-at-large. Belinda wrote much of the Michael Jackson coverage for Time Magazine. Belinda, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
You know, it seems to me that if you look at the Staples Center crowd list, and there's no official list, but you've got about 8,000 people who got these wristbands from the lottery ticket sales, right?
About 16,000, actually, because I think they got two.
Really?
There'll be about 18,000 people there in all.
I read in one of the Wire stories that, you know, they're sparkly, and Michael would have loved that. People were very excited picking up those wristbands. But you've got that group of people. You've got 9,000 invited guests or so from the Jackson family. You've got media. Who do you think, in terms of all of the worlds that Michael Jackson touched, is going to be represented by the people in that hall at the Staples Center later today?
I think it will be largely a fan base, and obviously, you know, there were something like 1.6 million people who applied for those sparkly wristbands. So it's going to be all around the world. It's going to be, you know, not unlike, you know, NPR's own Ira Glass. It's going to be live streamed to many cinemas. It's going to be on many of the TV shows. So I think mostly it's a thing for fans. In terms of performers, who represents Michael? I mean, you have everybody from Usher to Kobe Bryant and Magic Johnson, Lionel Richie. I mean, they're not all going to sing. There's even, in what I think is kind of a questionable choice, a 12-year-old boy who's supposed to be there and making his tribute, who's from Swansea in Wales. They always seem to be from Swansea in Wales, and he does Michael Jackson on Britain's Got Talent. So it's going to have all these aspects of Michael's life. Some of it will be, I'm sure, very beautiful. Some of it will be quite difficult to watch, and some of it, I think, there'll be some great moments of actual genius.
Belinda, has there been any indication, advance notice as to which stars will sing, I assume, which Michael Jackson songs, who will be doing what, and what songs we'll hear?
No, there hasn't been any indication yet. It's been organized by Ken Ehrlich, who does the sort of Emmys and the Grammys, so you know it's going to be a very TV-friendly event, but he has said it's going to be very somber. I don't know if there'll be a moonwalk, but I'm expecting the sort of more flashy aspects of Michael's life will be probably toned down.
Finally, Belinda, it seems as though this is a moment for members of the African-American community to explicitly embrace Michael Jackson's memory, even with all the complexities of his story in his later years. Do you sense that that's part of the narrative of the people that are arriving all this morning?
I think that's been a part of the narrative of the whole story of his demise, that the African-American community is sort of rediscovering Michael Jackson as one. I mean, he was the guy who is credited with integrating MTV. He is a fantastic performer. He has a true genius in some moments. And you can see that some of the people who are coming, Martin Luther King III and, excuse me, Bernice King, Dr. King's children. There's definitely Al Sharpton. There's definitely some black leaders among the people who are scheduled to be there.
All right, Belinda Luscombe, Time Magazine editor-at-large, who will be covering the events at the Staples Center in Los Angeles. Thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
In a few hours, the Michael Jackson funeral will begin in Los Angeles, and the concert at the Staples Center will get underway just after we go off the air, in fact.
That's right. And the other big story of the morning, John, one is in L.A., the other's in Moscow. President Obama just finished making his speech there a little over an hour ago, and he spoke to graduates of the new economic school in a speech also meant to reach the whole nation in Russia, not to mention an audience in Europe and the United States.
Well, economics in Moscow seems like an oxymoron. It's an amazing moment.
I think they're hoping that's part of the point, that maybe they could advance that cause a little bit. Well, earlier today, the president also had breakfast with Prime Minister Vladimir Putin at Putin's country home in Moscow. I was calling him president for a while, but he's the prime minister. Joining us to recap the speech, tell us what he heard, Clifford Levy, New York Times Moscow bureau chief, who was on hand. Clifford, mutual respect between the United States and Russia or mutual rivalry? Which tack is the president taking here?
Good morning. I think he's definitely taking the tack of mutual respect. He used the speech to emphasize a lot of the themes that have been the basis for his trip, that the United States wants to work with Russia on issues like nuclear proliferation and terrorism, that Russia and the United States share common interests. And he also made clear that he had not come here to dictate to Russia how it should handle its affairs.
And how is the president being received in Russia? He got this rock star treatment on his first trip to Europe. He gets rock star treatment in so many places he goes around the world, but something a little more tepid in Russia?
I think it's a little calmer here. I would definitely say that he's not being received as a rock star. He's being received respectfully, but certainly not like the kind of celebrity coverage that we've seen in other places. Certainly nothing like, for example, what we saw in Germany last year.
All right. Well, missile defense as a bulwark against Iranian development of nuclear weapons has been a major issue between the United States and Russia. It was started by George W. Bush, a program set in motion to have a missile defense basically on Russia's border. Is President Obama sticking to that plan, or is there wiggle room here from the point of view of the Russians on missile defense?
You know, it's a complicated issue, and it's obviously one of the most provocative issues in the Russian-American relationship now. This is a proposal that came out of the Bush administration that President Bush championed. It's clear that President Obama is not a strong proponent of it. However, President Obama has not said at this point that he's going to abandon it. All he has said is that he is going to study it. There was some sense that this issue could have actually led to a lot of tensions at the summit yesterday and today. However, it appears that both sides are trying to sort of delay having to address that. They've essentially said they're going to create a commission to jointly examine the threat from Iran, and they're going to continue discussing missile defense and also how it possibly links up with cuts in nuclear arsenals for each country's nuclear arsenals.
Well, Clifford, it did seem like the president was allowing for the possibility that that whole missile defense thing would be abandoned. But I'm wondering if even more broadly, the president is taking a really interesting tack here. I mean, this might be a moment, even with the global recession, for a bit of gloating at the profile of Obama versus the profile of Medvedev and Russia in general. Yet it seems like he was taking great pains in the speech to elevate the significance of Russia right now, to elevate its place in history at this moment.
Well clearly you don't want to come to Russia as a guest and portray yourself as a kind of a world luminary. And especially Russia, which is highly, highly sensitive to these kind of issues of protocol and issues of history. This is a country that clearly mourns its loss of superpower status. and you don't want to rub it in their faces.
Well, Clifford, before we go, though, that being the case, the president, you don't want to rub it in their faces, but the president also went at the issue of independent media, free elections, freedom of assembly, seeming to go right at Vladimir Putin. Is Putin going to let those things happen in Russia?
Well, actually, I don't think he said it in a particularly provocative way. I think he tried to say it in a more nuanced way. You know, he is, for example, today he's attending a forum, a civil society forum, but he's not doing it in a way that's sort of, again, one of the major themes of his visit here, he says, is that he's not going to dictate to Russia how it should carry out its affairs.
All right. Well, so, President Obama on the diplomacy offensive in Russia, Clifford Levy, New York Times Moscow bureau chief, helping us understand the president's speech in front of Putin and Medvedev and all of Russia. Thanks, Clifford.
Thank you.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
869-8253.
You know, you can catch the show live Monday through Friday. Thanks for listening. If you have any feedback or think there's any stories we should be covering on The Takeaway, contact us at 1-877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. See ya.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.